Sorry, I'm losing my voice a little bit. Every time I go to Vietnam, I try to visit my maternal family. And as many of you already know, most of them are Buddhists. And they are very good people, very moral people, very righteous people. And they have a simple heart. They also believe in the creator of the heaven and of earth. But they continue to remain Buddhist because it's a very comfortable way of life. I won't use religions because even Buddha said it's not a religion because there is no faith in Buddhism. It's a comfortable way of life because all you have to recognize that there is a creator of heaven and earth. And all you have to do is live a good life so that you and I will escape karma, the reincarnation, the life after life after life. And how do we escape karma? By doing good works. It's like banking on those good works so that we escape karma, the state of nothingness. They're good people. They believe in the Creator, but yet they remain as Buddhists because it's a comfortable way of life. But there's really no commitment in Buddhism. But for us as Christians, there's a real commitment, a commitment of seeking God, of searching for Him, and of sacrificing ourselves in order to respond to the love that God has for us. To be a Christian takes a lot of commitment. And to be a Catholic take a greater commitment, because really, why do we have to be here for Mass if it is not a sacrifice of our life, of our time, of ourselves, of what we have to come together to give God all the glory, honor, and worship, and to be with one another because we are the church? And of course, there are times that Mass are boring, perhaps when I preach. That's when it gets boring. But just like Pope Francis said, if we come to Mass and we say that it is boring, perhaps we have missed the whole point of the Mass. The Mass is not an entertainment. It's not a circus. We come to Mass because the Lord is here and because He had called us to be here. That makes it exciting. It is an invitation of love, and it's a response of love. It's much more than a comfortable way of life. It's a giving of ourselves right here, right now. Why? Because God had called me here. And God had put me into this place, not only by myself, but with other people who are also journeying, also walking, also struggling. And that is why we are the church. We are the church not because we are perfect. We are the church because we need each other, and God had put us together so that we can help each other on this way toward Him. And God knows that we have our weaknesses, and that is why when we come together at the church, our weaknesses are being overcome by our gifts and our blessings for one another. That's why we are the church. And that's why we're here, to help one another along the way. So, what does this mean to be a Christian? To be a Christian means that we have to will to seek God. We cannot just say, I believe, and then stop there. No. We cannot say that I believe, then stop there. Because the Christian faith is not just an intellectual assent or seek or journey, nor is it an emotional feeling. The Christian faith is the response of love. And in order for us to truly love God, we have to seek Him. We have to seek Him, and we have to search for Him. We have to desire Him, and we have to want Him. We have to give ourselves to Him. It's an intimate and personal relationship with the one who loves us. It's not such an intellect. It's not a philosophy. It's not a way of life. It's the way of love. It's the response to that love. And that love requires us to die to ourselves in order to truly go beyond ourselves and love God who have created us and given us everything that we have. And we have heard in the first reading today, we have to seek wisdom, the highest good. And once we seek the highest good, we will find God, I promise you. And what is the highest good? Most of the time now, we only seek the lower goods or the immediate goods or the appealing goods or the pleasurable goods that are in front of us of what we want. Oh, what is in it for me? What can I do to further advance my desire, my goals? What can I do to become a better version of me? Yeah, we only seek ourselves. We only seek the good that benefit us. We haven't sought the highest good. Think about that. We only seek ourselves. And that's why we only find ourselves. And we have to seek the highest good. The truth. The thing that is real. The thing that gives life. And once we seek the highest good, we will find God. Because God is the highest good. He is reality. And He is the truth itself. We have to seek it. We have to desire it. And we have to want it. And we have to live it. And once we desire, live, seek, desire, and possess the highest good, we find God. And once we find God, we have to make sure that when God had lit up that fire within our heart, we have to keep it burning. The lamps, just like the parable of the 10 virgins today. The wise one always had to be aware and keep the lamps burning. Because we know that there are many things that will distract us. There are many winds, many currents, many things. The ups and downs of life will try to diminish that fire that God had light in our heart. And we see that. We see that fire being diminished and being whooshed away when temptations come. When hardships come, when the things of this life come, when we don't get our way, those things try to diminish the fire and the love of God in our life. And we have to keep it burning. We have to really be attentive and keep it burning by doing good works, by really treasuring and loving God and serving our neighbor, by sacrificing ourselves. Those sacrifices, the gifts of ourselves, become the oil that keep the lamp burning. Think about that. The sacrifices, the love that we give to one another, because we see the presence of God in them, become the oil that keep the lamp burning. I want you to think about that. If we don't live for one another, if we don't go beyond ourselves, we become so self-centered, and it become a darker and darker and darker place, because we will never be happy, because we never get what we want, and we become jealous and envious of other people. But when we give ourselves for other people, because we know that this is what God calls us to be, and when we give ourselves genuinely out of that love, we find that we receive more than what we give. That is the lamp, the oil, the love that nourishes us and continue to push us forward and help our lamp keep burning bright. And as many of you know, my grandfather just recently passed, so I came to Vietnam November 1st. He passed away on All Souls Day, November 2nd. So I really only spent 2.5 days in Vietnam because I was on a standby flight to go back for his funeral. 98 years old, according to our Vietnamese year. 97, according to the Western year. My grandfather don't have a lot. He doesn't have a lot. But I think that the riches that he gives to us, his grandchildren and children, it not of material riches, it not of possessions. The two things that he gave to us, his children and grandchildren, is the gift of faith and the gift of family. Faith and family. Why is faith and family important for him? Perhaps he had seen, had lost everything that he possessed after the communists took over. Perhaps he understood what it meant to lose his own family when the communists killed his siblings. He knew what it meant when the government changes, different regimes take control. Life can become and change overnight. And that's why he always reminds us, his grandchildren and children, what is truly important in this life, what really nourishes us, the substance, the oil, and the thing that give us life, which is faith itself. Not faith in something, but faith in someone who is always faithful. My grandfather knew that even when the regime changed, government changed, politics changed, society changed, God remains faithful. God never abandoned. And God had always been with him through the ups and downs of life. And this love that he has for God did not depend on his intellect nor his emotion. It depended on his fidelity, his faithfulness, even when he had to be tried by fire. Second, because of that faith, he always reminds us who are his children, his grandchildren, and great-great-great-grandchildren that family is important because in the family, and I'm talking about our immediate family and also the family of the church, it's important because we are never meant to walk alone. God put us in one another's life in order for us to help one another reach the eternal life with him. And that's why we're here. We are the church not because we are special, not because we have the white ID card. Say that I'm better than you, because I'm baptized, or I'm this and that. We're here because God calls us. That God loves us. That God continue to nourish us. And God continue to give his life for us. So I want you to really think about that. And look at your neighbor. How am I helping my neighbor becoming saints? How am I helping them to grow in their faith? How have I been serving my neighbor? What really sustains me? Is it the trendy stuff? Is it the social privilege? Prestige? Money? Wealth? Or is it the substance that continues to nourish me? The relationship that gives me life? And the faith that continues to guide me in times of darkness? Faith. It's not given. We have to will faith. We have to desire it. We have to want it. And we have to live it. So my wish for you is that you and I, especially with Thanksgiving coming up, will to live, desire to love, and continue to serve one another because God has first loved us and given his life for us, and given his love for us. And that's why we are here. That's why we are the church. And that's why we are Christians.